You're listening to You Would Think, the Philly Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington, and joining me as always, it's Mike Giletto.
What is up?
I wasn't sure if you were going to be here today, but
Why is that?
We got the wife on labor watch.
True.
Yep. So there's a chance that I would have gotten a call this morning saying that, you know, I needed to find another host for this show. Anyway, before we get into
hashtag
today's show.
Labor watch.
Right. You threw me off with that one. Before we get into today's show, I'm here to tell you that you can find the show on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can find me at K Collington and Mike at Mike _ Giletto. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, and lastwordonsports.com. Now, let's get into it.
Yep.
We got some Phillies news. We have a little bit of blowback from last week's movies topic. I believe Ben referred to that as a filler episode.
Oh, it's not a filler episode. I'd rather talk about things that I enjoy and things that I'm interested in talking about other than like...
To be fair, it's a little bit of a filler episode.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Pulling out the list... We were
doing it in honor of the Mighty Ducks, New Jersey.
That's an excuse.
So sure, it's an excuse, but I'd rather do it. Like I'm seeing all these, you know, media outlets doing like a top 25 under 25, and it's just lazy. We're in the middle of summer. Nobody gives a shit about that stuff.
That's
so. Let's just talk. What we want to, you know, talk about what we want to talk about. What interests us.
By the way, did you see that Broad Street Hockey Coursey based top 25 under 25?
No.
Sanheim's not on the list at all.
He has to be.
No.
Because they're in love with Sanheim, so I don't buy that.
I'm sorry, Hag wasn't on the list. Hag and Marin weren't on the list.
Okay.
It's really over, like, Carson Twierynski?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
The guys that are going to be fourth line players.
Yeah, their Coursey numbers are probably great, though.
Probably. So that's my thing is I don't think it was a filler episode. I just rather talk about things that interest me, and movies are a great place to start.
Yeah, listen, I'm fine with it being labeled a quote filler episode, but at the same time,
no, Ben, go listen to Broad Street Hockey. We don't want you here anymore.
Yes, we do. Anyway, we're gonna get into today's show. Today's show is hopefully not quite as fillery, Ben. We're gonna talk some Phillies.
Yep,
Phillies are 2.5 games up in the division.
I think it's a game and a half now.
Is it a game and a half?
But yeah.
No, I think the Braves lost on Sunday too.
Did they?
I think it's still 2.5. Regardless, we're now over the All-Star game. The trade deadline is the day after we record this show.
They're a game and a half up.
It's a game and a half.
Yeah,
okay.
Just looked it up.
It's now time to start talking playoffs.
Yeah.
Right?
100%.
The Nationals suck. They're not coming. They're not coming back.
They're 6 games back right
but
now.
But they're not the same Nationals team that we all thought they were, right?
Right. And then, they're not who we thought they were.
Exactly. It's the anti-Dennis Green.
Exactly.
One day we'll do a list of best coach rants. How about that?
There's another filler episode.
There's another filler episode for you, Ben. And so they're a game and a half up. We're over the trade deadline. We're almost over the trade deadline. We're past the, you know, the All-Star game.
Yeah, by the time that this goes live, I mean, the trade deadline's going to be ours.
Right.
So.
What's their record?
The Phillies' record is 58-47.
58-47. So they're... about 55 games to go.
Yeah.
55 games to go. We're about 2/3 of the way through the season. And the Phillies are a playoff team.
Yeah. And they're right in the race.
And now they just lost 2 out of 3 to Cincinnati over the weekend, which is not what you want. Cincinnati's in last place in their division.
I mean, Cincinnati, they're hovering right around 500. My issue is
they're not a good team.
My issue isn't them losing to Cincinnati, because Cincinnati's always giving them problems.
You got to win 2 out of 3 in Cincinnati.
My problem with losing to Cincinnati is the fact that they weren't able to hit a very weak pitching staff. Like, yeah. Cincinnati can hit the ball, so they're good in that aspect, but they can't they can't pitch. So no. The fact that you weren't able to really, I think it was Sunday, they got
no
shut
runs.
Out.
Yeah, you got combined shutout.
So it's just, you got to be able to hit against a team with a weak staff like that.
Yeah, and those are the kind of bats you're going to need in the playoffs, because in the playoffs, you're not facing anybody's fifth starter. Right, because most teams go to that 4-man rotation.
Right.
So you're only facing a team's best starters.
Right.
And you have to take advantage. If your offense can't hit against the Cincinnati Reds, can you hit against a guy like Kershaw in the NLDS?
Right.
Or can you hit against, you know, any of these elite pitchers, right?
Right.
Like, it's just, it's going to make it tough. It's going to make it tough to win in the playoffs. Now, I think there's enough, you know, winnable games along the way for them to make the playoffs. I currently have the Phillies somewhere around 95 wins.
Okay.
Which will be enough to win the NL East.
Should be, yeah.
But I don't know. I think they have potential to win a playoff series.
I think they do.
And obviously it's far too early to talk about this, and they might still make more transactions before the deadline. They did make one. We'll talk about that. But the fact that we need to see offense more consistently.
Yeah, 100%. Right?
Like, Carlos Santana led off on Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, why? He's batting like 211.
Yeah.
And he's a power hitter. Like,
right.
Like, he's here to hit bombs.
Yep.
He's here to hit, you know, 400-foot moonshots. Why is he leading off when he's only batting 211 and his on base is like it was like 357 going right into Sunday, I think.
Yeah. That's interesting.
It's not great.
Like you said, I mean, a playoff series I don't think is completely unreasonable at this point. I mean, they're first in the division. So.
No, it's one of those things that it's any given Sunday, right? Any given playoff series, if Nola throws a 7-inning gem and then Arrieta steps up and throws an 8-inning gem, now you only have to win a couple more games, right? You only have to win one more game out of the next three. And really, you can roll Nola back for game five if you need to.
Right.
Like, it's super not easy. It's doable that you win a playoff series.
Yeah.
But it's going to depend on the matchups, right? Do you get the Cubs? Do you get the Brewers? Do you get the Dodgers? Like, you know, every win matters because you want to get positioning. You want to have home field. You want to not face the Dodgers. Basically.
Well, I mean, they did beat him 2 out of 3 games last week.
That's not the playoff Dodgers.
Of course.
That's not Kershaw at his best, all rested up, ready to throw playoff gems. Although he has struggled in the playoffs before.
He has.
So, I mean, maybe the Phillies take advantage of something like that if you end up playing the Dodgers. I think the Phillies can win the NLDS. First round.
It's early, and there's really not... You don't know who's going to be there, who you're going to play.
It's way too early.
You don't know who's going to be on the roster. I mean, yeah, the trade deadline, the actual trade deadline's tomorrow, but there's still a whole other month until the waiver deadline.
Just have to pass waivers.
Yeah, well, we saw last year with Verlander. I mean, July 31st came and went. He didn't move, and then the very last day, I think it was August 31st, with the waiver trade deadline, he ended up getting shipped to Houston. So it happens all the time where something might not get done on the 31st of July.
Yeah.
And then they wait another...
It's a softer trade deadline than most sports because nobody ever gets claimed off waivers.
Right.
And every team in the league within 10 games of a playoff spot should have put in a claim for Justin Verlander last year. Right? I mean, that trade shouldn't
it's a different situation with claiming players and things like that, but...
I mean, sure, but either way, there's no way that Verlander should have cleared waivers and gotten traded.
Right.
It's just not how it should go. Somebody's got to step in and knock that out.
Right.
Regardless, the Phillies look to be in a pretty decent spot, and they did make a trade this week. Tell us about that.
Yes, they did. I just had the stats up. Hold up. It's Drubal Cabrera, though, from the Mets. I think he's batting .272 so far this year. So, not great, not bad. I mean, he's a solid platoon. You know, move him all around the lineup. You can move him all around the diamond.
I wonder if that move was to kind of lead the way to move a guy like J.P. Crawford.
I don't know about that.
Right, because I think Drubal Cabrera is going to kind of serve the same role, where you can play a couple different positions. You can throw him in the outfield. You can throw him all over the infield. You can bat him anywhere in the lineup. I don't know. Maybe, you know, if something big is going to go down, which I don't necessarily think it is at this point because you missed out on Machado.
Yeah, you missed out on Machado. You missed out on Hamels. You missed out on J-Hab, Zach Britton.
Right. You missed out on a lot of the big fish.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily know if there's a big deal coming. But
there's really nobody else out there.
Right. But if there is a deal coming, maybe somebody out of the blue, right? Maybe somebody crazy gets moved. Maybe Washington decides they're out of it and they ship Harper to get value for him rather than losing.
I
agree.
There's going to be 0% chance he gets traded.
I agree. And if he does get traded, it's not going to be to the Phillies.
No.
I understand. But imagine if they did that. Right. Imagine if Washington looked at their team and went, wow, we're 6 games out. We're not getting better. We're losing Harper at the end of the year. Let's get some value for him.
Right.
Right. Because once the offseason hits, you're not getting anything for him. He's walking a free agency and signing a $400 million contract somewhere. Right. You might as well. The Phillies will give up 2 good prospects for him.
Yeah. But I think the Cabrera trade was more. I think it's going to more affect Kingery. Because Kingery okay. hasn't been getting it done.
No, that's fair. I could see him getting sent down for a little AAA
season. I don't
know
if they're going to send him down.
I'd rather, listen, if you're going to bench him, I'd rather send him down and let him get AAA playing
time. I don't even
know
if I'd bench him. Just do a platoon type of thing.
Yeah.
Don't make Cabrera an everyday player because I don't think he's that type of player.
No, not anymore.
So just kind of.
He was 5 years ago.
Yeah, sure. He's 32 years old. And he's not getting any younger. So
no, that's how time works.
That's how time works. But
right. But either way, I think it's a good move. It adds a little depth if this team does make the playoffs. If a guy like Kingery or Franco goes down, you know, Cabrera can kind of jump in and fill the role.
Right.
Right. And it's not ideal, right? You'd rather obviously have a guy like Michael Franco or, you know, whoever ends up going down, knock on wood. But like, Ezequiel Cabrera can play a couple different positions and can sub in if you need him to.
Right.
Right. Kingery can, you know, bounce around. And if, you know, there's a lot of things the Phillies can do. I think this move adds some depth. And it was a pretty low cost move for them to make. So it's a great move.
Yeah, I agree.
They didn't give up anything critical, right? They didn't give up anything huge.
No, so about double A minor league player.
Yeah, who's probably not going to be anything spectacular.
Right.
So it's a decent move.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, we don't know who's really out there. I mean, I know DeGrom was a name that people throw around a lot, but they've announced he's staying put, probably.
Yeah, it would be a nice ad, though.
He's a hell of a player. I mean, I think he's got a sub-2 ERA, but he has a ton of losses just because the Mets stink.
He's on a terrible team, right? Yeah.
Like, if the Mets were better and he had more wins, he'd be a Cy Young finalist.
A Cy Young candidate,
easily.
Yeah.
Because he's got, like, a sub-2 ERA.
Imagine if the Phillies get him. Right. I wonder if the trade talks that ended up in Cabrera started with the Phillies calling and asking about DeGrom.
It might have.
Right. And, you know, maybe you don't get that done, but maybe you get the Cabrera move done because they're willing to move on from a guy like Cabrera.
Right.
But if you call him back and throw a decent prospect pool together, you know, maybe two or three mid-level prospects. Right. I would make that move.
Yeah, I would, too.
If your rotation going into the playoffs is Nola, DeGrom, Arrieta, and then
Velasquez,
right? Either Velasquez or Eflin, or maybe Pivetta, like whoever your fourth best guy is, right?
Right.
That's a great rotation, right?
Oh,
of course. You start looking like that 2010 four aces rotation,
right?
Now it's not quite there, right? Because Roy Halladay, Cliff Lee, Roy Oswalt, Cole Hamels, like that's an all timer.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Nola, Arrieta, DeGrom.
It would be filthy.
And et cetera, Velasquez, whoever it is. And we just talked about in the playoffs, right? You're going to get two good starts out of Nola and Arrieta. If you can get a third one out of DeGrom, you're three quarters of the way to winning a series.
Yeah.
Or, you know, over a longer series, most of those guys are going to pitch twice. Now you're getting them four times in a series.
Right.
Five times in a series, maybe between the three of them. Now all of a sudden, listen, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but you can mark it down here first. If the Phillies somehow get DeGrom, which again, not particularly likely at this point.
Yeah, there's a rumor going around that he's likely going to stay where he is in New York.
If the Phillies get DeGrom, they go to the World Series.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not saying they win it.
It's not a insane prediction.
No, I don't think so. I don't.
Just because I think they're close. Like, they're in the talks now where they're one of the better teams. I mean, they're in first place in their division, right?
Right.
So, I mean,
you have to be in the conversation.
You see the Dodgers getting Machado. You see the Yankees get Britton and who else did they get? Britton and I forget who else they got. But the Indians get Brad Hand. So, I mean, you're seeing these big teams.
Yeah.
The Cubs got Cole Hamels.
If you make it to the World Series, you're going to run into an absolute buzzsaw from the American League side.
Oh, of course.
Right? Whether it's
the
Yankees,
the Red Sox, the Indians, the Astros.
Houston's always in it.
Yeah. Those four teams.
They did just put Altuve on the DL.
Yeah, he's 10-day DL.
First time in his career.
Is it really?
Yeah. I think he's missed a game or two before. This is his first time on the disabled list.
Yeah. I forget what it was, his knee or his leg?
I don't know.
Something, but I have him in fantasy baseball.
I know.
Tell.
Speaking of fantasy baseball, how'd Sunday go for you, Mike?
Yeah, thanks. Moving on here.
We're not a fantasy baseball podcast. And we could be.
We could be.
Ben, let us know what you think.
That's more interesting than top 25 under
25. Hey, Ben, if we talk about fantasy baseball, is that filler? I'll let you answer us on Twitter. @ YWT podcast. All right, now we've pretty much exhausted Philly's topics, right?
Yep.
They have a two-game set Monday, Tuesday with the Red Sox. And then they have Wednesday off, and then they have a four-game weekend set at home against the Marlins.
Right. I mean, this Red Sox series is a chance. I mean, I know it's only two games, but it's a chance to put
the league on notice.
Yeah. I mean, to prove you belong.
Yeah, so. You're here to play. And you're not just squeaking by in a bad division.
Yeah, I mean, that Red Sox team is good. I mean, I think the first game, I think,
probably the best offense in baseball.
They're 41 games over 500.
Yeah. Probably the best offense in baseball. Maybe we're, just straight up the best team in baseball.
Again, we're in July, almost August. They are 41 games above 500.
Yeah, it's outrageous.
I mean, they have Mookie Betts. JD Martinez has to have at least 90 RBIs already. It's insane.
And they're not even that far ahead in the division because the Yankees are also really good.
Yeah.
Like, it's ludicrous. It feels like 2006 all over again, where both those teams are nuts. And then Orioles and the Blue Jays and... Oh, there's one more team in that division, isn't there?
No, just the four.
It's just the four?
Yeah.
And then the Orioles and the Blue Jays are scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Right.
Not very good at all.
I mean, that's kind of what the MLB like wants, right? I mean, because...
You want Yankees-Red Sox.
Yeah, because that rivalry...
You can sell Yankees-Red Sox.
In the late, you know, 08, 09...
The mid-2000s, the Jason Varitek, the Manny Ramirez's, but, I mean, the Mariano rivalry, Rivera's.
It kind of died at one point a little bit, or at least went away for a little bit. Well, it started to come back.
That's because both teams kind of were bad.
Yeah.
And the Yankees have never really been bad for more than 2 or 3 years.
Right.
But towards the end of Jeter, right, they were dealing with all the A-Rod stuff. And then towards the end of Jeter, they just weren't very good.
Right.
And, you know, they're finally starting to turn it back around. They're going to buy themselves another ring.
I mean, they did win it in 09 against the Phillies. But
no, I said at the end of Jeter, right? In 11, 12, 13,
right.
They weren't very good.
No, they weren't.
And they're now attempting to buy themselves another title. You know, that's how the Yankees do it.
Right.
But, we're pretty much wrapping up on the Phillies. They do have a couple big games this week. You know, a four-game set against the Marlins, you want to win three of them. Right, like you'd like to win all four, but you really want to win three against a bad Marlins team. And if you can split with the Red Sox, you're very happy.
Right.
It's time to start talking playoffs. You know, by this time next week, we'll be through the waiver-free trade deadline, and we'll know if they added a piece. You know, if they add DeGrom, you can buy your World Series tickets. But but, you know, it's time to figure out who this Phillies team is, right?
Yeah.
It's time to figure out if this team is going to be a competitor come October. And I think they're going to be playing baseball in October. It's just a matter of, are they playing meaningful baseball? Or do they get swept out by a Cubs team?
Right.
Or do they get swept out by the team that won the wild card game? That would feel bad.
Yeah.
But regardless, you know, that's about where the Phillies are at. And we're going to transition over. We're going to talk a little bit of Eagles. Not too much, but they reported a training camp.
Football is back.
You know, everything I hear is that Carson looks good.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to say when he's not getting contact.
He hasn't taken a single hit.
Yeah.
So, you know, people who are saying, oh, he's definitely going to start week one. Trade Nick Foles now. Trade him now. Stop.
Yeah.
He hasn't taken a hit.
Right, exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Breathe. That surgically repaired knee, or that torn ACL, hasn't gotten touched since the doctor touched it.
Now, it looks like he's going to be ready to play week one.
He's going to be close.
They already said that they're planning on playing him for at least one preseason game.
Okay. So, it'll probably be two series. It'll be, you know, just put him in game shape in the preseason when guys aren't going quite as hard.
Right, game two or three, maybe.
Right. I honestly want it to be week three or four.
Right.
I don't want him to touch the field the first 2 weeks.
Right.
He's still dangerous. Like, the initial prognosis was mid-October.
Right.
You know, we're talking about him getting into a preseason game in mid-August.
No, I think there's four storylines here in training. Because usually I'm not really the type of person who gets bogged down in, like, training camp. And guys running in gym shorts. Because we really can't tell all that much, you know, from guys just running around.
Right. But about Carson real quick, because I'm sure that's one of them.
That was the first point I was going to make, yeah.
Again, the doctor said mid-October. We're talking about getting him into a preseason game in mid-August.
Yep.
It's two full months early.
Yeah.
That's scary, man. He got hurt in December?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was supposed to have 10 months to heal.
Yep.
And you're trying to get him back in 8. It's sketchy, man. You know, I think Doug needs to be very, very careful.
Yeah.
You got to put him out there with your first unit offensive line.
Right.
And because you know there's going to be some rookie on the team that they're playing against who wants to make a name for himself and re-hurt Carson Wentz. Right?
Yeah.
Somebody's going to be playing for a spot. and you just don't want to say it.
No, absolutely
not. You don't
want
to see anybody going low on them.
You got to be careful. And I mean, this team did just win the Super Bowl. So like,
did they really?
They did.
Oh man. So somebody should have told me.
So we got to trust.
Did I miss that?
We got to trust Doug at this point, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Doug has earned our trust.
Yeah. But back to my, I think there's four keys and things that I'm looking for in training camp.
Hey, by the way, in case you forgot, the Eagles won the Super Bowl last year.
They did.
Yeah.
Super Bowl 52 champions.
We haven't reminded anybody of that in a while. So.
But the first story, like you said, was Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
See how he's looking, progression.
The only storyline that actually matters.
Right, exactly. But the second one, I'm curious to see how Dallas Goedert looks.
Yeah.
The tight end.
Yeah, and I know your boy was big on him before the draft. If you go back and listen to our NFL draft special, I believe it was episode 9.5, 12.5.
Something like that. It was early on in our existence.
It was early on in our run. We had an NFL scout on. And they talked draft.
Yeah.
Or an aspiring NFL scout.
Right.
And they talked about the NFL draft, and they talked specifically about Dallas Goedert, who the Eagles ended up picking.
Right. So I think looking at him, I mean, that's going to be, if he can be what we think he could be, I mean, Ertz and Goddard
by the
is
way,
a good
shout
combination.
Shout out to Nick Macaron. Good call on that one.
There you go. Right, exactly.
Go ahead.
But the third storyline is another guy Nick mentioned, is Sidney Jones.
Yep.
He was
a big name. A lot of people were really interested in Sidney Jones.
Right. And he, you know, fell in the draft because of the injury.
Yep.
So he sat out. I think we saw him a little bit in the playoffs last year, but not much. So I'm curious to see how he looks after a whole offseason.
Right.
You know, and just see how he looks. Because, I mean, if he was projected to be like a top five, top 10 pick before the injury.
Right.
So.
And he slipped and the Eagles got him. So if he can play back up to that top five, top 10 potential.
To steal.
Then you got to steal.
Right. Now, my fourth point, the thing that I'm really interested in the most, I think,
right,
is what they do at the running back position. Just because they're so loaded. They have so many bodies back there.
It's almost too many for the roster.
I mean, they're going to have to make cuts. I mean, you have J.J., Corey Clement.
But like, you're going
to
cut somebody good.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can't carry six running backs.
Right. You have J.J., Clement. You got Darren Sproles, who nobody really talks about anymore.
Yeah.
Who I think did announce his retirement, didn't he? Didn't he say this was
his
last year?
I think he announced...
I thought he said this was going to be his last year.
He announced that he didn't want to go out like that, and he was coming back.
Right.
I don't know if he announced that he was definitively done after this year.
Right.
He announced that he wanted to go out on his terms.
Right. So they have those three guys. Then Al Pumphrey, who we've heard all this hype about over the last couple years.
Yeah, and then they've buried him.
Right.
Because he just hasn't quite cracked the roster.
Wendell Smallwood, who still has... potential.
Yep.
And then Matt Jones, who came over from Washington. I mean, people were really high on Matt Jones in Washington. He's not exactly a speed guy, but he'll pound the ball. He'll just try to go through you. He's a good pass catcher.
Right. And the NFL's weird because there's not really a minor league system.
Right.
Right. And like, I think NFL Europe is still a thing, but like, come on.
I mean, they have practice squads and things like that.
Yeah. But how much is a practice squad actually playing? How much is that improving you as a player? Right. Like in the NHL, we hear all the time about guys getting seasoning in the AHL. In baseball, we hear about AAA, AA, single A, et cetera, et cetera. In football, if you're going to bury a guy like Pumphreys on your practice squad, he's not getting any game time.
Right.
He's not getting game time where he's improving, and he's not playing against anybody.
Right.
He's playing against the defense of your team.
Right.
It's like, I wonder if teams call each other and just have their practice squads play each other.
Maybe.
Hey, Baltimore, you guys want to come up and have your practice squad against our practice squad, and we'll just play some, you know, just play some flag football, you know?
Right, exactly.
Just play some 7-on-7. But like, you're not getting game action. So I don't know how much development there is, right? How much better is Pumphreys this year than this time last year?
Probably not much.
Probably not much.
No.
And he wasn't good enough to make the squad last year.
Yeah.
Probably not good enough to make the squad this year.
Right.
Right? And in again, going back to hockey, a guy like Robert Hagg had 2 years in Lehigh Valley. A guy like Travis Sanheim had 2 years in Lehigh Valley. Playing hockey every night.
Sure.
Against people on a similar-ish skill level. It allows you to play. It allows you to develop. It allows you to get better.
Well, I think, I mean, I think there's three locks at this point, right?
Okay.
Is it Jai, Clement, and Sproles?
I don't know. I don't think Sproles is a lock.
I think he is just because of what he is in the locker room.
Then hire him as an assistant.
He wants to play football, and I think they're going to give him the respect. I mean, you do have a spot, you know, opened up because Blunt did leave. I mean, they don't have Blunt anymore.
I understand about respect, but at the same time, if respect is taking a 53-man roster spot, I don't know, man. Is he worth it? Now, I like Darren Sproles. I like Darren Sproles a lot. He's also starting to develop an injury history.
Oh, sure.
And he's 400 years old.
Right. He's an older guy. He's a smaller guy. They tend to get hurt.
At what point do you give up on him, right? Like, what happens if he gets hurt in week 4, misses the rest of the year, and then next year shows up to training camp and says, I want one more year?
Right.
Like, at what point do you cut him? At what point do you cut your losses and say, you're done?
I think if that was to happen this year again, I think then next year you say, you know, let's just part ways.
Yeah, but then you're wasting a roster spot on a guy who might get hurt week 4.
Maybe.
I don't know. I would just prefer to go a little younger. And I like Darren Sproles. And if he's ready to retire, I would bring him in as an assistant right away to be a locker room guy, kind of like Deuce did.
Right.
But
so, okay. So you said he's not a lock. I think he's damn close to one.
Okay.
So then would you admit that there are at least 2 locks then?
Yeah.
In a Jai and Clement?
I would say a Jai and Clement are pretty much locks.
Okay. So then you have essentially 4 guys in Sproles, Pumphrey, Matt Jones, and Wendell Smallwood all battling for
2 or 3 spots.
Yeah, most likely 2 spots.
Right. And they'll probably expand it and make it 3 spots. They can carry 5 running backs. They probably don't want to.
Right.
But if the competition between a guy like Matt Jones and Pumphreys, you know, all these 4 guys, if the competition is that close, they might have a hard time going down from, you know, cutting it down to 2 guys.
Right.
To create those other 2 spots.
Yeah.
So they might just go with 5 running backs this year, which is a lot.
It is a lot. I mean, usually you see 3 or 4, so.
Right. But it allows you to, you know, you kind of have to trim something somewhere else.
Well, yeah, of course.
You run into the constraints of the 50-man roster. And I have a feeling that this Pumphreys kid is going to get buried again.
It's not impossible.
And at what point do you just bust out?
Right. I mean, maybe you trade one of them for a mid, you know, 4th, 5th round pick in training camp. And
I think if you're trading one of them, you're trading a Jai.
Think so? He probably gets you the most,
right? And if let's say that Ajay is a 9, and like Sproles and Pumphreys and all these other guys are like 7s. If I can trade Ajay as a 9 and get 9 value back to help out a different position, or via draft picks or whatever you want to do with it, how much is the drop off from 9 to 7?
Right.
Right. And it's, you know, Ajay figures to carry the ball a lot this year. He's probably going to be your workhorse, right? Clement's kind of a little more of a dash back.
Yeah, I think they're going to split a lot of time this year. I mean, because like we said earlier, I mean, Blunt's not back. So
right. Like, what's the drop off from Ajay to Clement?
Right.
Or, right, because if you trade Ajay, Clement just picks up more of the workload. And now, you know, he'll get 60% of the carries, say. Then the other 40% are split up between your other 3 guys.
Right.
Whereas as it is, Ajay gets 40, Clement gets 40, and then the other 2 or 3 guys are splitting 20%. That's tough.
Yeah.
So it would actually almost open things up a little bit. So I don't know. We'll see what the Eagles do. But
yeah,
bringing up the Eagles, you know, they have come to training camp. There's not too much going on. You know, we're still a couple weeks away. We're about a week and a half away from the first preseason game.
Yep.
So, you know, that led me to my topic for the week.
Okay.
All right. Now, I don't think this is filler, but, you know, Ben might.
Yeah,
but,
Ben,
you know,
will tell us otherwise.
Who cares what Ben thinks? He's in Ohio. Nothing good ever came out of Ohio. Anyway, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Obviously, we all know that the Eagles won the championship this year, right? The Eagles won the Super Bowl. They've brought a championship to Philly.
That they did.
Now,
and it was a fun one.
Oh, yeah. There's no such thing as a not fun champion.
Yeah.
Come on. So, my question for you, other than the Eagles and, you know, that other game with the big orange ball that we don't talk about, which
Philadelphia... So, we're excluding basketball out of this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which Philadelphia franchise brings the next title home? Is it the Flyers or is it the Phillies?
Is it the Flyers or the Phillies?
And now I'll set it up a little bit while you kind of think about that.
Okay.
Both teams are kind of on a similar trajectory.
Yeah.
They're both building from within. This year, the Phillies added Santana and Arrieta. This year, the Flyers added JVR. They're both built around young cores. The Phillies core is a little bit younger, I would say. The Flyers, you still have the Giroux and the Voracek and the, you know, the Simmons for now. Both teams are starting to progress forward. The Phillies look like they're going to make the playoffs this year. The Flyers made the playoffs this past year before a first-round exit. I honestly think that's what the Phillies are in for this year, first-round exit. Who wins the title first?
It's an interesting question.
I think both teams are on the upward trajectory.
Yeah.
Both teams have a couple young studs.
I don't even have a legit answer. Cause like I'm just trying to think like.
Okay, let's break it down.
Yeah.
Do you think the Phillies win the World Series this year?
No.
Do you think the Flyers win the Stanley Cup this year?
I think they could. So I guess my answer is the Flyers.
Okay.
I don't think they will. Right. I think they could. Like the reason, I mean, I guess the Phillies
so much can change in
too,
the NHL.
And I guess yeah, but I think the Phillies technically could too. But I just think the teams that the Phillies are gonna have to face are so much better, and like the majors,
it's a steeper hill.
Though yeah, baseball it's more top heavy, I think, than the NHL.
Where
the NHL is kind of deeper, and
I agree.
So I think that the Phillies are going to have to play tougher opponents, and the Flyers would have to, if that makes sense.
We've talked before about the NBA being a three-team league, essentially. A four-team league,
right?
Generally speaking. Mm-hmm. Baseball is probably about a six-team league. And yeah. This is in terms of teams that can realistically win a championship.
Right, and I would put the Dodgers, the Astros, the Red Sox, the Indians, and the Yankees.
That's five.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's probably...
I wouldn't throw the Nationals there. Maybe last year,
Cubs,
2 years ago. I don't know if
the
I
Brewers.
Throw... I don't throw the Brewers up there. I don't even know if I throw the Cubs up there. Hamels makes them better, the Cubs.
I think the Cubs have to be in that running. I don't think they're necessarily going to win the championship, but I think they have to be in this top-tier discussion.
I don't know.
Maybe. Regardless.
So five or six teams.
It's a five or six team. Hockey is probably like a 10-team league.
Right. I mean, Washington, obviously, they just won it.
Right. Even just in the Flyers division, you just said that the Flyers could win the title this year.
Yep.
Also in the Flyers division are the Washington Capitals.
The Flyers are better than.
The defending Stanley Cup champions and the previous winners, the 2 years before that, the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yep.
So in the Flyers division, there's three teams.
And I don't think anybody else from that division can win.
No, I think Columbus.
No,
if they,
I don't
if
buy
Columbus,
Columbus.
If Columbus adds a piece, they could be relevant.
I don't buy Columbus.
No, and then Carolina, New York, maybe New Jersey.
I don't buy New Jersey either.
I don't know. But regardless, even just in the Flyers division, that's three teams right there. And then you're still talking about the Sharks, the Kings, the Knights, the Jets. There's at least 10 teams that if you said won the Stanley Cup, you wouldn't really be all that surprised.
100%.
Right. In the Atlantic division, you got the Bruins.
And got the Lightning.
The Lightning. Now the Toronto Maple Leafs with John Tavares.
Right.
Like, we're already up at 10 teams and we haven't even talked about a whole division.
Right.
We haven't talked about the Central at all.
Right.
It's unreal.
Is there really anybody from the... Well, you did. You said the Jets, but...
Okay. I thought the Jets... Jets aren't in the Pacific.
Nah, they're in the Central, yeah.
Weird. Regardless, like, still, we touched on one team from that division.
Right.
Like, the NHL is so much less top-heavy.
Yeah, I agree.
That league has done a really good job of getting parity right, of getting the salary cap right. Because the NBA's is awful.
Yeah.
Baseball doesn't have one.
Right.
Football's is fine, but the rosters are so big, it's tough.
Yeah. And there are no guaranteed contracts. So if somebody just gets bad, they're just...
You just got to cut them.
See you later.
Right. Whereas the NHL has done it right. Right. If you look at all those teams, there's one bad contract on all those teams.
Yeah. I mean, now Washington's going to have to see Tom Wilson get five and a half mil for the next six years. For 6 years. Yeah.
God, so. Yeah. We touched on that contract before we went live. It's a bad contract.
I mean, I don't think they win the cup without him, though. So, I understand them wanting to lock him up. He's still young.
I think it's brilliant on his part to cash in on it.
Sure.
I think it's silly of the Capitals to fall for the hype, basically.
I mean, I think his career high is like 35 points, but he's not a point scorer.
No, he's a gritty
agitator in your face.
He's a Brad Marchand type with probably less skill.
A little bit. Like, I think he has more skill than people give him credit for.
He's like Brandon Manning.
He's a solid player. He's better than Brandon Manning.
Nah.
I mean, obviously, Brandon Manning only got like $2 million.
That doesn't mean anything.
Sure.
Cam Ward also got like $2 million. Sure. So
yeah, well, Cam Ward's best days are behind him.
Exactly.
But well, Wilson, I think he's gonna be in this level for the next, you know, 4, 5, 6 years. I mean, he's young. The thing, like, I think the Wilson thing affects one thing with the Flyers, and that's okay. You could kiss Wayne Simmons goodbye.
I agree.
Because he's going to look at this contract, and if he's
go,
saying,
wait a minute.
Hey, if Wilson's
getting
60
points in a season before.
If Wilson's getting $5 million, I want seven plus. And if I'm the Flyers, I don't give Wayne Simmons
and
7
quite
plus.
Frankly, I think he probably deserves it.
Sure.
Especially if he bounces back this year. And he knows how team friendly his contract is.
Sure.
He knows that if he hit the free agency market after the season he had in 2017 or 2016-17, you know, the year he was the MVP of the All-Star game.
Right.
If he hit the free agent market there, he would have gotten 7 at least.
Right.
Probably closer to 8.
So he's going to look at that contract and say, hey, I want 7, 7.5. And if I'm the Flyers, I don't give that to him.
No. And I honestly, I love Wayne Simmons to absolute death. He's one of my favorite Flyers over the last decade or so.
Right.
He plays Flyers hockey through and through. But at the same time, I don't think they're going to re-sign him.
I don't either.
I just don't think there's a market unless he has another atrocious season. When you can get them for 3.5 or 4.
Yeah, but if you had another atrocious season, would you want to
exactly
even do that again?
Exactly. No.
Exactly.
Is the answer.
Yeah. So
I think Wayne Simmons is gone. I'm hoping that they trade him.
And listen, I don't even know if I would consider last year an atrocious season. I mean, he had up like, what, 25 goals?
Yeah, but
I mean,
you
it's
could
not
tell
awful.
He
and, he was hurt all year. So if he was back healthy, if he's not a moron and plays the whole entire season with a pulled groin or whatever the hell it was.
It was a torn pelvis.
Yeah. So if he doesn't do that again and he's smart with his body.
Right.
And he's actually productive, then I mean, maybe we'll see a different Wayne Simmons.
Hey, real quick, who's your first unit on the power play this year if you're running the Flyers?
Power play. So I go Ghost.
Okay.
I go Voracek.
Okay.
Drew.
Okay.
I go Nolan.
Okay.
And
you don't really have a scorer.
Me? No.
Right, you got a
I
lot
mean,
of guys.
Drew's the guy that takes the "quote unquote" OV spot and just right. lets him rip. So.
No, I agree, but you know you don't have a bona fide sniper
then,
on that on
and
that
then maybe,
unit.
Maybe Couturier.
Okay. See, I would build it a little different. I would actually put Nolan on the second unit because I want him getting that second unit time. I want him taking the second unit faceoffs. For me, your first unit is Couturier in the center, Drew in the wing. On the other wing, I want Wayne Simmons so he can get back to what he's good at, you know, right? Getting in front of the net, deflecting pucks all day. And then on the point, I want JVR.
Okay.
Just slap shots all day. Boom, boom,
maybe.
Boom. Because then you got Giroux sitting in his little OV spot. And then you got Voracek on the point. And then Ghost is the fifth, of course.
Right.
But, and then, so you got Giroux. You can picture it in your head. You got Giroux on the left circle, Ghost at the top. And then JVR on the right circle, just clapping all day.
Right.
Either one's open. The Flyers got a little predictable this year because everyone knew that they were going for that Giroux shot because you didn't have a guy like Simmons in front of the net. Right. So the year before, the Flyers power play was successful because they didn't have to just get the Giroux shot. Ghost to Giroux. Because Ghost could throw it on net and Wayne Simmons could tip it home.
Right.
This year, you didn't have Simmons, and you didn't have 100% Simmons, and I think teams knew that.
Yeah.
Nolan did a good job in that role, but I want him doing that on the second unit. And then you can put Konechny and Jake down on the second unit with him, and now your second unit can be successful.
Sure. I mean, the second unit was dreadful last year.
I agree. But you now no longer have Val Filppula and Dale Weiss down
right.
there. You can have Voracek and Patrick and Konechny. And then if you want a fourth forward, maybe a guy like Jordan Wheel.
Right. But Patrick was so good when he came, you know, when he was called upon last year on the first power play unit.
Right.
I want him getting some more time, growing even more, now being relied upon to do good things on the first power play. And Simmons is on his way out anyway, so just put him on the second unit.
No, see, I would, if you're going to put Patrick on the first unit, that's fine. I would do it at the expense of Couturier, rather, and put him on the second unit. I want somebody out there who can win draws. And on the first unit, Couturier was probably a little wasted because Giroux was taking most of those draws anyway.
Right.
Giroux is one of the best centermen in the league. So if you don't want Patrick taking draws, Claude can take that draw and then go over to his spot.
Sure.
He did that a lot this year anyway. He took most of the power play faceoffs.
Right.
So I think that allows, and then, you know, with the NHL cracking down on faceoff violations, you still have Nolan Patrick, who can come in and is a decent faceoff guy.
Right.
And you imagine that that's going to get better as, you know, he grows in his career.
You would think.
You would think.
There's our first one of the show.
Yeah. It's
40 minutes in.
Yeah. So all circling all the way back to the initial question, Flyers or Phillies?
I forgot that's where we started this.
Yeah. Who wins? Who leads the next parade down Broad Street? Is it Claude Giroux or is it a Michael Franco? Aaron Nola? You know, pick a Philly, whoever. You know, which team do you think wins the title first? Because, yeah, you said that the Flyers, the NHL is a little less top-heavy, and you have more good teams to get through. You have more good teams to get through in the NHL, but you have better teams comparatively to get through in the MLB.
Yeah.
Right? In the NHL, you're going to have to win 4 series against good teams.
Right.
In the MLB, you have to win, like, 3, unless you're playing the wild card game. But you're playing 3 series, and you could
maybe
luck out.
Maybe a play-in game, yeah.
Right. So, you know, it's a tough question.
It is a very tough question.
We're definitely gonna make this our poll for the week.
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask you, listeners. You can follow us on Twitter at YWT Podcast, and we'll be posting a poll. Who wins the next title, the Flyers or the Phillies? It's a very simple question. Who wins the next championship chronologically? Right. My answer is the Flyers. I think the Phillies are a little bit younger, and they haven't been playing together quite as long. Whereas I think the Flyers are trending so positively at this point. They're cutting dead weight, right? Like Letera is on his way out. He's got 1 year left. I wish they had bought him out, but they didn't. Filppula is gone. Manning is gone. So you're not going to have Sanheim or Hag in the press box. This team is getting better. And also, they have a little playoff experience.
Yeah.
I don't think any single Philly, homegrown prospect Philly, has playoff experience. Now, obviously, Arrieta does.
Yeah.
But who are the long-tenured guys on this team? None of them were around when the Phillies were good.
No, not at all.
So that team has to learn how to play playoff baseball.
Yeah.
The Flyers played a 6-game series with the, at the time, 2-time defending Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah, and they got curb stomped.
I understand, but they won 2 games. You took 2 games off of Pittsburgh. Now, regardless of whether you... Yes, but in the 2 games they won, they looked good. And if they can look good in 4 games next year, great. Now they've won a series.
I would say the Flyers, too.
Okay.
Because I think the biggest question mark with this Flyers team is, I think, it's goaltending. And I think it's fair.
Yeah.
But we have his, you know, up-and-comer Carter Hart that everybody's expecting to just be Carey Price right away.
But at the same time, he's not going to be Carey Price right away.
No, probably
not. There's
going
to be a season of growing pains.
I think when he comes up, they have a chance to do something.
Right. So if you're relying on Carter Hart, I don't think he's going to make the team this year. I would love him to, but he's not going to. So that means they're not going to win this year. If you're relying on Carter Hart, they're not going to win this year.
Yeah.
They're not even going to win next year because it's going to be his rookie year. Unless he has an outrageous Hextall-like year where he wins the Vezina in his first year.
I mean, Matt Murray just did it.
Right. Well, I mean, Murray had like 35 career games before he even lost his rookie status.
Right.
He was still a rookie.
Yeah. Well, he won 2 cups and was in his first year of the NHL.
I know. It's unreal. Yeah. He won his 2nd cup as a rookie.
Yep.
And, right. And that's, I mean, hey. What happens if 10 games left in the season, Elliott goes down? You call Carter Hart up. He starts 7 or 8 games, you know, just enough to keep his rookie status. And then, you know, goaltend your team into the playoffs.
Right.
You get a Matt Murray situation.
Yeah.
He is the first goalie in WHL history to win WHL Goalie of the Year 3 years in a row.
Right.
And he won CHL Goalie of the Year for all of the Canadian juniors. He won it back-to-back.
Yeah.
Kid's good.
Yeah. There's still some reservations, obviously, because...
Of course. You have to learn how to play at the NHL level.
Right. I mean, they faster, stronger, you know, they're just better players at this level. Bigger, faster, stronger. So you're going to have to learn
how to... Thanks, Kanye.
Yeah. you're going to have to learn.
I tickled you with that one.
Yeah, a little bit.
I caught you off guard with that one.
But you're going to have to learn to play at this level. And we'll see if he can take the next step in the AHL.
Yeah, that doesn't kill you, only makes you stronger.
I see what you did
there. I wish you would hurry up now. I can't wait much longer.
Top five Kanye West songs, go.
No.
On Twitter, top five Kanye songs.
No.
The College Dropout, though? Good album.
Never heard anything of it.
No. Oh, it's a great album.
We're done.
It's his best album that he had.
We're done here.
This is stuff that is interesting to me.
Now, we're going to wrap the show up now.
Come on. I was just getting interested.
Now, we'll be back next week. I guess you can let us know your favorite Kanye songs.
Yes.
Make sure to at Mike also and not just the... Anyway, you can do that on Twitter at YWT Podcast. Also, make sure to add Mike to that at Mike Giletto. If you want to find me, Mike_Giletto. Yeah, okay. You're right. I'm sorry.
I'm pretty sure it's what it is. I don't even know my Twitter handle.
If you want to talk to me about something that's not Kanye, you can find me at K Collington on Twitter. And then you can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, and lastwordonsports.com. Now, I don't necessarily know if Mike's going to be here next week. Again, we're still on hashtag labor watch. If that's the case, I'll figure something out. Maybe I'll run it solo. Maybe I'll get a guest in via Skype. I'm going to try to get a guest live in studio.
We got some options.
I have some ideas brewing for the paternity show here. And on that note, I think that'll do it.
That's it.
All right. Now, we'll see you next week, and go Phillies.
I was just getting interested.